If you will join me in the reading of the word, it's on the back of your bulletin. This is from the 22nd chapter of Genesis, if you want to follow there. But I skipped through verses 1 and 2, then 9 through 12, and then 15 through 18. And then going to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 17 and 18, which have to do with what's in Genesis 22. So, Genesis 22, 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." And then there's the traveling. And they reached the place God had told him about. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And then it says in verse 15, the angel of the Lord. See, this angel of the Lord is often in the Old Testament. It is God speaking. All right, so understand that. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Hebrews 11, verse 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises. Standing on the promises? Yes. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. The past few messages of our Sunday mornings have been focused on how faith plays such an important part in our lives in Christ. And if you're around church folks long enough, it doesn't take a whole lot of time, you're going to hear a lot about faith. And hopefully you're going to see the people of God exercising their faith. And you'll conclude that we operate that way because we Christians are a people of faith. You see, we, and this is true of the people of Bosque Del Baptist Church, we have learned, and we've learned it all because God tells us. We've learned about faith by observing and talking with each other. God tells us about faith in his book, in our treasured Bible. And again, that's why we read God's word together, and that's why we hear the reading. And we ask God to bless our reading, and we ask him to bless our hearing of the word, just as we have learned to do so from his word. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is. But you know, this faith thing, it's not simple much of the time. Not simple having faith. Tests, trials, worries, disappointments, and frustrations are a part of all of our lives. Are part of every human life. And all of that takes us back hurriedly, hopefully, to our life of faith. often maybe to someone or to many of the people we know of faith, like those of you here in this church. And certainly back to searching out, to reading and listening to the scriptures that have taught us our faith. One of the great ones, our faith teachers that we all love and admire is the Venerable Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. And I love to quote him because he is our teacher. He is a teacher of all of us. Dr. Graham tells us where in the Bible he got a lot of his learning about faith. It's a portion of scripture that we have turned to each of these last few Sundays in our focus on faith, Hebrews chapter 11. In a book that he wrote in 1991, Hope for the Troubled Heart, Billy wrote, "The Bible lists in Hebrews 11 the heroes of the faith who were tortured, imprisoned, stoned, torn apart, and killed by the sword." And we have the audacity to think that we have it bad sometimes. Anyway, so one of our scripture texts for this morning is from Hebrews 11, and that text points us back to the Old Testament and one of the really great and memorable stories of the faith that we've been hearing. We've been hearing this in Sunday school since we were children. We hear it as the text of many sermons throughout our times of worship in church as youth and as adults. We've heard this other scripture text for this morning, Genesis 22. We read in that scripture that Abraham was tested by God to bring out the good faith that was in him. And this test was one used by God to give Abraham a tremendous testimony through the telling and the writing of this story to both his contemporaries and to followers of the faith down through many, many centuries, to the writer of Hebrews and even up to now to us, here and now. And so this morning we're going to pay attention to the manner in which Abraham was tested and how that reveals something unique about the God of the Hebrews, the God of the early Christians, and the God of those of us who are gathered here for worship here in Bosquedale Baptist Church this morning. In fact, this particular story of Abraham and Isaac will tell us this morning some of the ways we are tested. We, as are all other people, we are tested by Satan. Mm-hmm, amen to that. And this is what we need to know. From the very beginning, from the very first time Satan tests us to the last time, which may not have been too long ago, this is what we need to know. When Satan puts a person to the test, he does so to bring out any evil that is lurking around us, just waiting to pounce, so to speak. His motive is to hurt you and destroy you as much as possible. Look at Father Abraham. Here was a man who was terribly vulnerable. And Satan looked and said to himself, "All right, I got him now." You see, Abraham, following God's lead, had probably run into tests and temptations pretty much from the time he answered God's call in Hebron. That call was to venture out and go down to settle and take over Canaan as the land of all of his descendants, those who were to become the Jewish nation. Now, here he was in Canaan, surrounded by the many tribes of the land of Palestine, the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Kenites, the Perizzites, and several other idol-worshipping tribes. And Abraham saw the religious traditions of all those false god worshipers. And part of that was the sacrifice of their children for one reason or another, to appease or to bring favor from some imagined god or practice surely Satan was behind. And the story in Scripture doesn't say this in any way, please understand. But it's not hard to imagine that Satan may have easily snuck up behind Abraham and whispered in his ear. He might have suggested that his God would be pleased if he would imitate his neighbors and take his son Isaac out to a nice place and offer him up as a sacrifice to his own God, like all his neighbors were doing. And then, still imagining, okay, this is not there, but I'm imagining. Then God, seeing that Abraham might fall for this deception, took over quickly and worked with this as a great way for Abraham to exhibit his faith. God knew Abraham had faith. And since this was all in motion, this would really, really establish him as a man of complete faith. Faith in the God that would ultimately deliver everything for Abraham. Now, I have no idea that this is the way this went down, but I believe it is quite possible that Satan had a hand in the evil concept that sacrificing a child would be a favor to your God. Well, jumping over quickly to the New Testament, we know that Jesus grew up as a student of the Old Testament. Those were his scriptures, and this story of Abraham's victory through faith had been a part of his love and respect of Father Abraham of the Jews. So when, just at the start of his days of ministry, Jesus was boldly tempted by Satan and was victorious over these temptations that were designed to destroy him and to wreck God's great redemptive plan, I don't think maybe it's stretching it to say Jesus in the wilderness may have reflected as he was thinking on this severe temptation of Abraham. You see, Satan uses the same methods to tempt us today. He promised plenty Christ, if Christ would follow his suggestions. I'm going to Matthew, the 4th chapter here, verses 2 and 3. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That's Jesus. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Mm-hmm. And there were undoubtedly a lot of stones around there, plenty of food for him. He promised Christ plenty. You know, people still desire such things as pleasure, as material goods, power, and more otherworldly things. And the devil has suggestions by which he promises plenty. That's the same thing. He promised popularity and acceptance by contemporaries if we just follow his suggestion. Matthew 4. Going on, verse 4 and 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written," now this is Satan saying, "for it is written," here he has the audacity to quote from the Bible, to quote from the 91st Psalm. What's written? "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." You see, Satan comes to us with subtle suggestions that will lead us astray if we follow his direction. He comes to us with the promise of painless success if we'll just follow the suggestions. Matthew 4, 8 and 9. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. all of this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. You see, Satan was trying to tell Christ that it was unnecessary for him to go through the eventual ordeal of the suffering of the cross, as was the divine plan of God for him in the near future. His audacious suggestion was that he, Satan, could cause the kingdoms of the world to become the kingdom ruled by Jesus. Well, the divine faith of Jesus knew better. He knew that God did and will always rule the kingdom of this world, and that it was his Father's plan, not Satan's interruption, that was his future. As with Jesus, Satan comes to us with all kinds of suggestions for shortcuts and substitutes for God's way, substitutes for the right way. When Satan puts you through a trial or test, it is never, never, never for your good. Always only to hurt and destroy you. And just as he could never have accomplished any of these false entitlements to Jesus, he can never deliver for you either. Well, here's another that we need to consider right away after considering Satan's testings. People are tested by people. One of the highest abilities or powers with which we human beings are endowed is the capacity to make judgments. You see, we can utilize a variety of tests and elements to eliminate the incompetent and the counterfeit. And some methods of testing in such situation have to be used, or we can be messed up or even destroyed by people who've set about to deceive us. For instance, out of the blue, someone knocks on your door and offers to cut down the big tree in your front yard. What do you do? What tests do you apply to that statement they've made before you contract with that person to do the job, who may be testing you to see if they can get at you? Or you get a phone call telling you that you've just won the Canadian lottery, and all you have to do is give them your social security number and send a check for $500 to cover the postage and handling. What questions do you ask? It's a test. In either of these scenarios, or others like them, if you're wise, you'll begin applying tests immediately to determine whether they are real or counterfeit. Do you put faith in what these people say, or do you check them out? See, a variety of tests are used to evaluate progress toward a desired goal in training or in the struggle of life. For instance, as you transition from high school to college or a trade school or a job training program, you ask and you seek the answer to many questions to decide which school or which program will get you best to your further goal in life. If you want to become a lawyer, for instance, you don't go to a school for a guitar technique. It's just because it's located on a beautiful beach in Nassau of the Bahamas. Now, you ask many questions. You apply many tests to determine a college that will have a great pre-law program. You test the source. Don't let the beach test you. And there are a variety of tests that are applied, often by people who are assigned to do so, to determine or to develop character or leadership potential in you. Such tests are used, for instance, in the business world to identify and move people from office work to management, or from long-term skilled labor to a designer of tools for that labor. Such testing and evaluating is also used in the spiritual realm. Paul urged that self-testing to his ministry protege, Timothy. Study to show yourself approved, he said, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. And so we're tested by Satan, we're tested by people, And as was the case with Abraham, in addition, our faith is tested at times by God Himself. People are tested by God. They really are. Now, these things we know. God needs people upon whom He can depend. God needs people with whom He can trust the rich gifts of the Spirit. Gifts to be used for ourselves and for the good of others. And so at times He may present a test. As I've suggested, perhaps at times to counteract a test placed already in our way by Satan or by some other person working with Satan, but maybe unaware that's the case. Pardon me here for an aside, but this is an alarming aside, just kind of like what I've just been talking about. Not necessarily a person or persons who are unaware that they are cohorts of Satan's. In some recent obvious cases, these are people who are deliberately working with Satan in very active testing. You may be aware of it. But I'm speaking of what's going on in Washington State and now elsewhere. I don't know whether you've seen this on the computer or on your internet. Somewhere in the state of Washington, perhaps the Seattle area, an elementary school board approved the formation of an after-school Satan club. I think I may have mentioned that here. This was to comply with a challenge from a Satanist group that it was unfair to have an after-school Bible club unless they were permitted to have the Satan club. And the weak-kneed school board gave in and allowed it. And I'm praying for God to test the faith of some people of those schools to be strong enough to fight that atrocity and possibly get rid of those weak-kneed school boards and administrators very soon to protect the young children from the innocence of wrong impressions. These are elementary school children, mind you. Very impressionable. Oh, come on. A Satan club is just fun. And it's happening in more schools now because of that one. Well, enough of that aside, but it disturbs me greatly. Let's get back to this. God may not immediately reveal His purpose for testing people, but we can be assured that if He tests us, He has our best interests at heart. And here are some of the biblically recorded instances of testing of faith by God. The tests that come from God are designed by His love for us. James, the first chapter, says, "Consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith." Consider it pure joy, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. A test that comes from God is a vote of divine confidence in us and is motivated by His love for us as He seeks to build character, such as this that's talked about here, perseverance in us. The tests that come from God are never beyond our power to conquer with divine help. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, when God leads us into a difficult spot, He always promises His presence with us and His power to assist us if we'll just trust Him and be faithful to Him. The tests that come from God enable us to live more abundantly and to serve more effectively. Abraham, for example, became a greater man because he was faithful to God when God put him to the test. The tests that come from God speak powerfully to people who will listen. God is faithful and dependable, and we can trust Him to be with us in every test and every trial. God is gracious and merciful, and every test is designed to bring out the good in us. And the tests reveal that God requires of us our very best. And the tests reveal that God is wise, because He gives these tests as appropriate tests for each one of us individually. The tests reveal that God has a redemptive purpose for each of us, and that He wants to use us to be a blessing to others. Amen. You see, God wants our best. He deserves our best and is near to us with love when we face these tests. The test to which God put Abraham revealed that truth, that God wants our best, that He deserves our best, and is always near us with purposes only of love as we face any test that comes upon us, whether it's a test from Satan or from other people, or even those times when God chooses to test us for our spiritual benefit and our growth. This experience of Abraham reveals that God is the great giver, and that we cannot outgive God. And so when God comes to test you, when any test of your faith comes at you, trust Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Obey no matter what, looking to Jesus as your example and your model tells to you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Because He Himself, Jesus, was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted, tested. May God bless us as we face the tests of our world, the tests of Satan, the tests of God Himself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.